Last week we shared on obedience, and we asked three questions. The Bible says, even though Jesus was the Son of God, whose son are you? Even though Jesus was the Son of God, he learned obedience. He learned. How could Christ learn when he's God? He learned to obey. How can he learn to obey when everything he did was obeying God? And then he learned to obey through suffering. And many of our gospel, if you are not careful, we have a sufferless gospel. Salvation may be free, but it cost Christ everything. The cross is the place of suffering, but it's also the place of perfect obedience. We shared that this morning, that he obeyed even unto death, the death on the cross. So we asked those three questions. How can God learn to obey when he already knows everything? How can God be made perfect when he is already perfect? And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation to those that obey. To those that obey. He's not the author of eternal salvation to those that disobey. They said to him, we cast out demons in your name. We prophesied in your name. We healed the sick in your name. He said, get out of here, you workers of iniquity. You did your own thing. That means you can cast out demons outside the will of God. I was ministering at a meeting, and it was a combined meeting, and this girl came to the altar and she started to manifest. And I said, shut up. Go home. And I didn't pray for her, so she turned around and went home. And someone said, why didn't you pray for that girl? I said, I could have. Could have cast out that demon, and you'll get it back in about 5 minutes and get worse than before. Because she's entertained that demon all her life, and she likes the attention, so she does that. So if I cast it out, it won't stay out, because she'll invite it back. Are you okay? So we ask those three questions. How can God learn to obey when he already knows everything? How can God be made perfect when he is already perfect? How can we learn to obey like he obeyed? Hallelujah. So we want to share a little bit on that, on obedience. I'm still heading to a particular. If you are part of the church, and if you're not a visitor, many of you are visitors, so this will bless you, but it's for our church. We've journeyed, hallelujah, and we are still journeying because we are heading a particular direction. We talk about the word of God, about the armor of God, about obedience that holds the armor together, but we are still journeying to a particular place. Hallelujah. Tyra, stand up. Where is she? It's her birthday today. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Tyra. Happy birthday to you. Hip hip. Hip hip. Hip hip. Yeah. So, we'll sing happy birthday to her. But when she get married, we'll really sing then, all right? Hallelujah. Hey. Now, if somebody listens to this CD or this message online, they're probably, what a crazy church. Halfway through the sermon, they sang happy birthday. Hallelujah. So, let's take what we read at communion as our text. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Obedience, when you obey, It courts the favor of God. God loves obedience better than sacrifice. And God said of his son, "This is my beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased." Wouldn't it be great if God declares of us, "This is my girl, this is my boy." The Bible says of Jesus, he always does what he sees his father doing, and he will never say anything unless he hears his father say it. Everything that he did was to obey the Father, to glorify the Father. And the Father looked down and in commendation said, "This is my son, in whom I'm well pleased." And when he went up to the mountain of transfiguration, and you have Moses and Elijah and the church, you have the apostolic church represented by Peter, James, and John. You have the law represented by Moses. And you have Elijah representing the prophets. The Bible says in the olden days, God spoke through the prophets. But these days, he's speaking by his son. So you have the prophets, the law, and the church. And God spoke from heaven and said, "This is my beloved son. You listen to him." The church listens, the prophets listen, and the law listen. Hello? You listen to him. Then there was a third time when God spoke about Jesus. But he didn't interpret it. But everybody said it thundered. And he said, "This did not come for my sake. This came for your sake." But God, when a person obeys, you call it the favor of God. Even naturally, when you obey your parents, you got the favor of your mom and dad. There's something pleasing when we learn to walk in obedience. Now, sometimes we obey knowing why we obey. Sometimes we have no idea. And sometimes maybe it's right and maybe it's wrong. It's right and it's wrong. A father will say, "Do this." Why? "Just because I said it." Now maybe sometimes you need to explain yourself. But sometimes if you are an obedient son and daughter, sometimes you don't need explanation. You just need to know what he wants you to do, whether it's a mom or dad. Go down to the city. You'll find a man carrying a pitcher of water on his head. Follow that man. The house that he gets into, you get into. Just follow him. And when you get into the house, ask the man of the house, "Where is the room that we prepare the communion?" Now, they never ask him, "What for? What's he wearing? What kind of man?" Go down to Bethlehem, Judah, and anoint one of Jesse's boys to be king. Hello? So they went down to the gates of the city, and this man walks by. Now, why is that odd? Because men are not the fetchers of water. It's the women that go down to the wells and fetch the water in the morning and in the evening, except the woman of Samaria who turned up in the middle of the afternoon because there were other women that will ridicule her because of her lifestyle. And so it's very odd for a man carrying a pitcher of water on his head. But you go down to the city, find this man, and he'll stand out like a sore thumb because men don't carry water on their head. It's the women that carry water on their head. How do you find a church when you go into a new city? You go down to the city, find a man that carries water on his head. How do you find a new church? When you go down to a different place, you come up from Christ Church, you landed in Wellington, how do you find a church? Many of us will find the most popular church. Wrong. You find a man that has a pitcher of water on his head. What is that? It's the word of God. Thy word helps cleanses us. The cleansing of water by the word. So find a man that has the word. He may have the smallest church, but he carries a pitcher of water. And where he goes, that's where you go. Where the house that he enters. Now that man may be the pastor, or that man may be a member of the church, but you find a man, you find a woman that carries a pitcher of water on their heads, and where they enter, that's where you enter. And that's where you prepare for the coming of the Lord. Good preaching, Pastor. Many people go to a new city. They find the biggest church, and they go in there, oh, hello? The music may be great. The band may be great. The lightings may be great. But is there water? If there's no water, you're in the wrong place. You're there just to entertain your carnal self. But you will never be fed. When you find yourself on your own, you can't stand the temptations. Hallelujah. One of my friends pastors a great church, about 2,000-3,000 people, and young people came and said, Pastor, let's have an LED screen. And he said, why do you want an LED screen? He said, oh, it'll enhance our worship. Are you for real? You have an LED screen to enhance your worship? What happened on the mountain of what happened on the mountain of Moriah? Me and the boy are going to worship. There was no guitar, there was no keyboard, there was no drums, there was no LED screen, but there was worship. There was not even a song. What's wrong with us? We try to create an atmosphere with stuff. Find a man with water. Find a woman with water. Where they enter, that's where you go to church. Hallelujah. Are you all right? When you learn to obey, it courts the favor of God. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro, hello, throughout the whole earth to find and look for people whose hearts are perfect towards God. That doesn't mean that you are sinless, perfect. Nobody is sinless, perfect. But your heart is towards God. In fact, your heart may be right and you're doing the wrong thing. I remember this pastor, and he said, I've got a car, my car, and I polish it until I just about see my face in the polish. And one day, his little 4-year-old son said, Daddy, I washed your car, polished your car. He said, oh, and he went out and saw he was a mess. Now, the boy's heart was right. What he did was not very nice, but his heart was right. God looks for those whose hearts. David was not perfect, but God looked down and saw a shepherd boy in the back blocks of Bethlehem, Judah. And God said, I found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. How can a human being have the heart of God? Was he perfect? No. But his heart was perfect to God. And when he learned to obey, you caught his favor. Hallelujah. Are you okay? When you learn to obey the little things, you know, and we shared last week, sometimes we want to hear the voice of God. Yeah, I want you to do this. So we wait for a prophet to come give us a prophetic word that says, the Lord, you're going to do this, this, and that. But when God whispers into your own ears when you're praying and said, go wash the dishes. I rebuke you, devil. Tidy your room. Some of you will be grossly embarrassed if they show the content and the condition of your room on the screen. Well, that's very nice. But some of your rooms are not very nice. And sometimes obedience does not necessarily start with hearing the voice of God. You will hear the voice of God when you learn to obey your parents. There was a boy that heard the voice of God as a boy. He did not know it was God. Now, why did God speak to him? Because he obeyed. In fact, if you obey the small things, if you're faithful in that which is little, God will give you much. But it depends on how you obey with the little stuff. Are you okay? So when you learn to walk in obedience, something about your obedience will attract heaven. Hallelujah. Are you all right? Now, if you read the Bible, and Abraham obeyed, and Noah obeyed, Enoch walked with God, Abel offered a better sacrifice. All these are acts of obedience. And then you study the lives of those people, the life of Abraham, the father of the faith. Was it perfect and sinless? No. But there was something about their obedience that attracted the favor of God. Hallelujah. Are you okay? Now let me again. Let me burst your bubble. Obedience attracts suffering. It attracts the favor of God, but it also attracts suffering. Now the Bible says, Abel obeyed, he offered a more excellent sacrifice, and he cost him his life. When you obey, it can attract suffering, but this is the amazing thing. Abel, though dead, yet speaking. I mean, how can a dead man speak? And even though he's dead, because of how he lived his life, because of how he lived in obedience to what God required, even though he's dead, he's still preaching, and he's preaching at more places and more generations than any other preacher. When we are all dead and gone, new generation arise, they will preach about Abel. And Abel will keep on preaching until Jesus returns. Even though he's dead, yet speaketh. His blood cries out. Hallelujah. Now let me, this is good. It's good. I don't know, I haven't even said it, but it just blessed me thinking about it. Two bloods speak. The Bible says the blood of Jesus Christ speaks of better things than the blood of Abel. So those bloods still speak. The blood of Abel speaks, the blood of Jesus Christ speaks. It's speaking to us, but the blood of Abel speaks looking for vengeance. The blood of Jesus looks for mercy. But they speak. Would people speak of your life even after you're dead? Would they speak of your faith? Would you still speak after you're dead? When you're dead and buried, would your life still speak to another generation? Because you lived in obedience to the things of God, to the voice of God, to your own parents, to your own church. Obedience attracts the favor of God, but also attracts suffering. And we don't like to suffer. We like to have a nice, beautiful life. Now, because Joseph was obedient, Joseph was obedient and found himself with a nice coat of many colors. But it also attracted the hatred of his brothers. So they tore off the coat of many colors. And Joseph found himself with the coat of a slave in Egypt. And because he was an obedient, he found himself in jail. Hello? But that's not his destiny. God is preparing him to be the governor, to be the prime minister. Hallelujah. It courts suffering, but ultimately had the favor of God on his life. You know, when God sent Ananias to pray for Saul, God said, tell him how much he's going to suffer for my sake. Now, how would you like that prophecy? Thus says the Lord. You're not going to suffer for my sake. Are you all right? So you read the Bible. Paul wrote more letters than all the other New Testament writers put together. Amazing. His journey. But before Paul suffered, he caused other people to suffer. So he was there when Stephen was stoned, and that was not with marijuana, that was just with rocks. They stoned Stephen, and Stephen preached to those that killed him and martyred him. And here sits this terrorist. A terrorist was watching a Christian being killed. I wonder when he got saved, I wonder what Paul learned from that deacon from Faith City Church. Because Stephen was not an apostle, he wasn't an evangelist, he wasn't a prophet, he wasn't a teacher, he was a deacon just looking after the door and dishing out the food, making the cups of coffee and keep dishing out the biscuits. But I wonder what this terrorist watching this man die that day and still preaching about Jesus Christ. I wonder what the apostle Paul, still a terrorist now, later to be an apostle. I wonder what he learned from that deacon from Wanganui. That when it came time for Paul to go, tradition and history tell us that his head was cut off. I wonder if he pondered on Stephen. When he was being led away to have his head cut off because he sat there and saw a deacon that obeyed God and preached to those that were killing him. I wonder if he learned to learn how to suffer because he saw suffering. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Hallelujah. We only suffer for a little while, but our light afflictions, which is only for a moment, will work for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things that are seen, but at the things that are not seen. For the things that are seen are temporary. The things that are not seen are eternal. Amen. Hallelujah. When you obey God, you'll attract that. But you know God's promise? I'll be with you always when you're going to McDonald's. Be with you always when you go down to a Chinatown and have a duck. No, I'll be with you always, come hell or high water, storms and sunshine, whatever, middle of the night hour, whatever, I'll be with you always, even unto the end of the age. And I'd rather have the presence of God. We said it before, we can say it again. When you live in the presence of God, you'd rather be dead in the presence than have the whole world and lose your soul. You live outside the presence of God, you may be the most wealthiest man on the planet. You lose your soul. You may be the poorest in the presence of God. And yet when you die, you don't die, you yet live. You'd rather be poor in the presence than be rich outside of the presence. That presence was so special to Moses. Moses said, if your presence go not with us, I ain't going. I'd rather be in the wilderness with nothing, no restaurants, no hotels, no cars, no nothing. I'd rather be here in your presence than to go with a substitute of your presence. I don't want an angel, I just want you. Are you all right? So Daniel found himself in the lion's den because of his obedience. And then the presence of God turned up in the lion's den. So you got two people, Daniel in the lion's den and Nebuchadnezzar in his bedroom. This guy slept, that guy did not sleep. You'd rather be in the lion's den with the presence of God than in the best chamber in the palace without the presence of God. So Daniel went to sleep and Nebuchadnezzar could not sleep. Then he came in the morning and he said, Daniel, yeah, are you alive? I wouldn't say yeah if it wasn't alive. What's wrong with you? Supposed to be the king. What happened? Well, God sent his angel and we had a game of hide and seek with the lions and then we both went to sleep. Did you have a good sleep? No, I didn't. I'm just trying to help you. I got him up. I said, was your God was able to do it? Yeah. You'd rather be with the presence of God in a lion's den than be in the bedchamber of a king with no presence of God. So they got him up. He said, now where are those that accuse him? Bring them over here. Now throw them down. And when they threw them down, the headline of the project, breakfast. They fasted all night. They might as well break fast. But when you obey, sometimes it will attract suffering. But whatever you attract, when suffering comes because you obey God, it'll always work for your benefit. Hallelujah. Are you all right? Is it okay? You want me to change my message? Obedience brings promotion. Let me read our text. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself, became obedient to the point of death, even the death on the cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him. Highly exalted him, because obedience will bring promotion. So when Daniel came up out of the lion's den, he was promoted, and something happened. He had more authority before the lion's den than after the lion's den. And Nebuchadnezzar said, there is no other God but the God of this man. Why? Because obedience will bring promotion. What happened to Joseph? Went from the pit to the prison to the palace. Obedience will bring promotion. And when you endure for a moment, God will get you to where God wants you to be, because you've learned to obey. And sometimes in learning to obey, you go through, if Jesus learned obedience through the things that he suffered, we are no better than him. He said, if it happened to the green tree, definitely will happen to the dry tree. If it happened to him. So Paul, in his whole life, he longs for this, that I may know him and the fellowship of his suffering. Are you okay? Obedience, when you learn to obey, it will give you a good name. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name. You will have a good name. A good name is better than fine ointment, than fine perfume, than great oil. So when the Bible says a good name, now if you don't understand the language of the East, you say, I don't even have perfume. Well, some of you need to have perfume. Are you all right? There's a thing called deodorant. But when the Bible talks about oil, about fine ointment, about fine oil, and a good name is better than fine ointment, than that oil. Oil in the East is life. And even today, he holds the West by the scruff of the neck. Why? Because they've got oil. So oil can be medicine. You know, you pour oil on your wounds. Oil can be for cooking. Oil can be sold for money. Oil is everything. When the Bible says, a good name is better than fine oil. You know what the Bible says of the Lord? Your name is as ointment poured forth. Name. Just because you obey. And when people discredit you because you obey, God still watches over you. Because a good name is better than fine ointment. My time's up. Go and have a cup of tea.